Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that the fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Tool Shed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, we're here to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
Welcome into episode 197 of the Tool Shed with Clegg and Cross, powered by the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I'm your host, Eric Cross, and with me, as usual, is my 80 grade co-host, Mr. Chris Clegg. Chris, what's going on, bud?
Oh, man, not much, but it's good that baseball's back. Standing, watching already for fantasy, you know, already checking those out. It's a busy day of fab. Yeah, it's good to be back in the routine or the grind, I should say. But AAA ball's back. Major League ball's going strong. MLB TV has an awesome big inning feature now where there's four screens at once. It's fantastic. I'm just so happy to see baseball back.
Do you like that name, though, Big Inning? Sounds kind of weird, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's trying to be flashy, I guess, and trying to get people's attention, but whatever.
I mean, I obviously love the concept. I was hoping they'd been doing this, you know, a long time ago, but I'm trying to think of, like, a better name. Like, obviously, NFL has, like, the red zone package, so we don't really have, like, I'm trying to think of a better terminology, the warning track. No, that sounds dumb. So I know something better, but I'm just glad that whatever they call it, I'm just glad that they have something like that. And they're actually making an effort to try to improve some of that stuff and, you know, get more eyes on the sports, which it needs. And that's good. Hopefully they can keep doing that. But yeah, it's fun to have. Obviously we've been watching spring training games and WBC and college ball and all that, but it's good to have regular season Major League Baseball back. And things are already kind of going haywire here. Standing watching, like you said, and it's never too early to look at the standings. And, you know, obviously Fab is back. And I love the tweet you put out earlier today, Chris, about how, like, every year you're like, oh, I should do, you know, fewer Fab leagues. And then you just don't listen to yourself and you're still in a bunch of them. And
yep.
First Fab of the year comes, well, second Fab of the year, technically.
First in-season.
Your first in-season Fab, that's right, so. I'm on, like, I have leagues in, like, six different platforms, so I had to make, like, a spreadsheet. I'm like, all right, this, I got Fab is this time on this league and this time on this league, just so I don't forget anything, and that would be bad. But got a lot of fun stuff to talk about today, some just news and notes, some prospect stashes. But before we get into that, the usual housekeeping. You can find us on Twitter, Chris at RotoClegg. I'm at EricCross04. Show is at ToolShedPod. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and review. Check out each of our platforms for more work from both of us, Chris's Substack, Dynasty Dugout, and my Patreon, Toolshed Fantasy. A lot of great stuff over there every single day on both platforms. And before we get into the show, we want to say a quick word about our friends at Underdog Fantasy. If you start using the promo code Toolshed, you'll receive a 100% deposit match up to $100, and that can be used on any of their fun fantasy games, including individual player pickings, which I've been doing a ton of. Been doing a few each and every day. A lot of fun there. They have a ton of them for every game. So make sure you go and check that out. Use that code Toolshed and you get, again, 100% deposit match up to $100 at play.underdogfantasy.com/P-the-toolshed. All right. We'll get to some prospect stashes later in the show. You want to start with some news and notes and, you know, one of the biggest promotions of the early season, second day of the year, Joey Weimer gets brought up, and, you know, proud papa, our buddy Casey Bubba was very happy on Twitter, as were a lot of us. A little bit of a Joey fan club going on here, but with Luis Urias going down, moving Anderson back from right field to third base, that'll put up a spot. First and foremost, though, Chris, were you surprised it was Weimer or not Frolik? I felt like the first one to be up would be, I love both of these guys, but I was surprised it wasn't Frolik up first.
I probably would have been. I would have been a month ago if you told me this, but towards the end of spring training, Weimer was kind of the talk that he would get the first crack. I'm not sure if that just because if Frolik played in the WBC and just didn't have as much time in camp or not.
That might be it, yeah.
But yeah, the way they talked, I really thought that Weimer was going to crack the opening day roster, and they end up sending both him and Frolik down and carried Owen Miller instead, which surprised me a bit, but you know, now we get Weimer, so I'm not completely caught off guard by this. I think Frelick's, I guess it depends on what happens here. Right now, I mean, your outfield's pretty set overall with Yelich, Mitchell, and Weimer. If Weimer struggles, then I would say Frolik probably gets the next crack. But if he performs, you know, who knows how this shakes out? It could get really interesting because you also have Jesse Winker DHing. Winker can play some outfield, I say that loosely, but then you look and every position is kind of locked up. The bench is kind of meh, but you're not calling up Sal Frolik to sit him on the bench either. So
right,
it's going to be interesting to see maybe an injury. You know, injuries are kind of inevitable, so maybe something does happen to where Frolik gets a chance and Weimer, but this is a crowded outfield, so don't be surprised if there's a trade because it's only going to get more crowded over the next couple years. These are just a couple of the tight spots right now, but then you look down the pipeline, there's Jackson Churio, there's, you know, now you have both these guys up at least, but there's a wide range of names that, you know, are going to be up soon for the Brewers in the outfield and a lot of talent at that. So it's going to be interesting how they decide to shake this all out.
Yeah. In general, I was very excited for Weimer to get the call back up because I thought he had a chance as well. But at least it's only second day of the year. So this is a guy that's coming off back-to-back 20-plus homer, 30-plus steal seasons. He's a very efficient base runner as well. Always had a pretty solid walk rate. It's like power, speed, you know, walk rate, not questioned at all. But it was the swing and miss. That was kind of the red flag in this game. But as we mentioned previously, he really cut that down the stretch last year, like drastically in the last month or so of the season. Look at what he did in the month of September. He had more walks than strikeouts. He had 80 plate appearances. And if you include the one game in October, 84 plate appearances, 15 walks to just 10 strikeouts, hit .302, .425, .476. And a lot of power then. But maybe he's trying to find that middle ground of making enough contact and cutting down the swing and miss, but still having that power. Because I think there's a potential for 2020, not right away, but if he's up the whole year and he'll have to hit, obviously he's got Sal Frolik, you know, breathing down his neck. So if Weimer goes into a prolonged slump, you could see them gonna pull the plug and go over to Sal Frolik. But if he's given the, you know, full season's worth of plate appearances here, I could see him maybe going 15-15, something like that. And long term, I think this is a potential 2020 guy and maybe even 2025 with, you know, the new stolen base, you know, those being way up right now. The restrictions, like, this has been a massive impact so far. Like, I don't think any one of us kind of expected it to be this much of an impact, but it definitely has throughout spring training and so far the first handful of days of the regular season. So long term, again, I don't think 2030 is out of the question for Joey Weimer. He's got the power, speed, see if the contact skills and the approach, you know, those improvements he made down the last year can carry over if they're tangible or if it was just a random hot stretch that he enjoyed. But I'm a big fan of Joey Weimer in general. So, and he's probably going to go for a pretty penny in fab leagues. So I'm not sure if I'd be willing to spend the money it's going to take to get Joey Weimer, but in general, love the bat a good amount.
Yeah, I mean, I have my hesitations. The tools are there, and the power speed's awesome. The contact skills are what worries me. You highlighted some improvements that he made down the stretch last year, which are certainly awesome to see, and I hope that sticks.
Yeah.
If it does, then we could be looking at a really strong fantasy asset. But you know, I do have concerns about the overall contact. He's whiffs on a lot of pitches in the zone, which is concerning. You know, he's altered his swing a little bit. He saw a really funky swing, and he makes it work. We talked to him about it. Like, the Brewers didn't want to mess with it. I like that. They were just going to, like, it's always worked, so he's just going to go with it. But there are some contact concerns, and that's something that's just worth knowing. But there is power. There's massive poolside power, and there's good speed as well. He's a gamer. Like, just he plays the game at such a high intensity when you watch him. I love the way he plays the game, and I do think that, you know, we could be looking at a really solid player if all clicks right. Like you said, the intangibles are there. I have no clue what to expect him to go for in fab, but I guess we'll see.
Yeah, it's always interesting, especially early season fab, because everybody has a lot of money to spend. So you could see some crazy dollar amounts thrown around. You always do. So that'll be interesting. And then with Frolic, I still think Frolic's up early, fairly early. I think he's the next one in line. Who knows, like I said, if, you know, Winker, you know, he's had some injury issues, so has Christian Yelich. So could see Frolic. And again, if Weimer doesn't work out, they could move over to Frolic. So he's one where I know the upside with Frolic isn't exciting. It's not the same upside as Joey Weimer has, or even like Jackson Chira, who won't be up this year. But Frolic is one of those guys that's going to be a very good fantasy player for a very long time, but just not in, like in the super sexy way that we kind of covet. But this guy is plus hitter, plus speed. It's just a very smart guy and could have, you know, 10 to 15 home runs at peak as well, while having, you know, 25 plus steals and, you know, maybe even a 300 plus average. Like, this guy has just hit for a high average everywhere he's gone. 331 career hitter in the minor leagues, over 154 games, hit 331 last year, 403 OBP. He doesn't strike out a lot. So not like the super high upside with Frolic, but I think he could come up and provide a solid, you know, average and speed. So if you have spots to stash, he's not a bad stash right now. All right, moving over to another young player that's performing pretty well right now and had a pretty good spring as well. Nolan Gorman, a guy that after he was drafted a handful of years ago, I was very high on Nolan Gorman. I was probably one of the higher ones in the industry on him, if I recall correctly. That was 5 years ago now, which is crazy to think about. But then I kind of, you know, faded a little bit. So I was questioning the approach. I was questioning the swing and miss, the contact skills. He struggled mightily against fastballs last year, which was very concerning. But he hit very well in spring training, 288, 373, 538, four home runs in 59 plate appearances, and just cranked two home runs today in the third game of the year. Also had a couple hits the other day and more walks than strikeouts so far. I know it's super early, Chris, but do you think Gorman could be turning the corner? Like, I'm not making a direct comp to Austin Riley, but Riley had to go through some similar things, you know, a couple of years ago where, like, all right, the power's there, but where's the average going to be at? And I don't think Gore quite has Riley's upside, even if he makes the correct adjustments needed. But I'm just wondering if this is the beginning of the turnaround for Nolan Gorman. He can become maybe like a 250, 260 guy that hits 30 home runs a year, which from second base could be very valuable. So what are your thoughts here?
Yeah, that'll be interesting to kind of follow. Now, he made some changes in the spring, or this, I'll say this offseason. He did make a swing change, and I think that's pretty notable because he was working hard to improve his game. And now here we are. I mean, he's maintained the power, like everything you want to see, but he's also working to make more contact. You know, there's a great article by Derek Gould on St. Louis Today or STLtoday.com about those changes that he made. And, you know, I do think it's important to note because, you know, he worked also. The Cardinals are doing some really cool stuff, I think, with their bats. And, you know, the bat fitting has become really big. We've seen that with Brendan Donovan, too. And for Gorman, obviously working on his swing, doing some training with medicine balls this offseason is what the article highlighted. So, yeah, I think this is a real chance that he is kind of breaking out. He's 22 years old, and we wrote him off pretty quick. But this seems like a classic case where player can, you know, former top prospect, goes through some bumps and bruises, and then gets back right. Because, you know, what he did this spring was hard to ignore. He still struck out a high clip. But in the midst of that, you know, he did make some improvements I thought were pretty notable. So at the end of the day, I think you got to take a chance on Gorman and see if it's real. Because if he's not rostered, then and you miss out, he takes off, then you're probably going to regret it. But I'm certainly buying in. Again, 22 years old. It's too early to write somebody like this off. And obviously the power's there. We just need to see more consistent contact. And guess what? Now we're getting that. And I would say I'm certainly buying in.
Yeah, I'm not like fully buying in, but I definitely am buying into it. Like, I've always been in on Gorman to a degree, right? Even though I had faded him a bit, that didn't mean I didn't like him. I just wasn't going all in on him like I was in the beginning when I had him as one of, I might have even had him as the 1-1 in my FYPD rankings that year, or at least if it wasn't the 1-1, it was like definitely top 3 or 4 in that entire draft class, which, if I recall, was a pretty solid draft class. But yeah, definitely worth seeing what happens here. Maybe it's nothing. You know, maybe he goes back to striking out a ton and maybe in a platoon or something like that. But definitely with how kind of suppressed the price tag is, though it is starting to tick back up, I think now is a good time. Kind of a low risk investment given the price tag, but potential for a pretty solid reward. Sticking in the National League Central here, going over to the pitching side of things, Graham Ashcraft had a very good debut today after a very good spring. So a lot of good stuff here going on here with Graham Ashcraft. Yes, it was against Pittsburgh. I get it. But finished the day, 7 innings, 4 hits, 1 run, 1 walk, and 6 strikeouts. Look at the player breakdown here on Savant. Cutter set 96.1, which was down a little bit, but slider was up on nearly 2 miles an hour. Spin rates were up over between 100 and 200 on all three of his pitches. Also mixes in a sinker as well, which averaged 97.3 after spring training showing where he had in 5 starts, 260 ERA, 25 strikeouts to just 2 walks. Are you buying in for a Ashcraft breakout in 2023, Chris?
Yeah, I was certainly in on it this offseason. And in the spring, I was like, oh man, like this is legit. I think that what he's done is what I want to see. And, you know, the note of the velo on the cutter is interesting, but what it did do was allow it to have a little bit more vertical break, which is what we wanted because the cutter was dropping and dropping into bats, and it did that way less. So, you know, spin rates being up are meaningless when it doesn't translate to other things. And it has, like, I love to see this. So the slider had more horizontal break as well than last year. I don't know. I'm just really, really intrigued by Graham Ashcraft here. And the notable thing was his slider had more horizontal movement while seeing a 2 mile an hour increase from last year. He's pretty much a 2-pitch guy, cutter, slider, mixed in the sinker at 10% of the time. I don't care. They're really good pitches. And while he had just a 26% CSW today, I still think this bat missing is there where the strikeout rate is going to tick up significantly. And even if he's a strikeout per inning type arm, then that's a win in my book, considering how low the strikeouts were last season. So yes, the buy low window on Graham Ashcraft is completely shut at this point, I'd say, but I am pretty impressed overall.
Yeah, as am I. Like you mentioned, the additional horizontal break on the slider, less vertical break. So definitely kind of tweaked the shape with it while adding the view. I mean, I like Graham Ashcraft. Obviously, the ballpark isn't great, but I don't know. The one thing I just don't, like you said, he's kind of a two-pitch guy because about 90% of his pitches today, 85 out of 95 were cutters or sliders. I don't know. I would feel a lot better if he had like a decent changeup or something just to help offset lefties a little more. It's, again, you know, I like Grandmaster, got that decent amount. The velo's there. Bat missing ability is pretty solid. So I think he could be what do you think he could settle in as? Let's say this is legit. Like, where does he settle in as? A top, what, 50 pitcher? Top 40? Top 60? What are you thinking?
Probably like a top 40 until we see, like, you know, elite bat missing stuff. Like,
yeah,
trying to figure out somebody to, like, I don't know. I'm trying to figure out a decent comp. I don't have one for him, like, off the top of my head. But, you know, I mean, he's like a – he's going to have decent ratios. Probably never elite ratios, but, you know, solid but not great K numbers, if I had to guess. I don't know. Like, I'm struggling with a good comp, but the interesting thing to me is that last year his Arsenal Savant comp to Corbin Burns. So we'll leave it at that for movement and velocity. Now, you can classify that however you want to. That's just what Savant says, but I don't think he's going to be that type of arm. But at the end of the day, like, I think he can be solid. I'd say top 40 is pretty reasonable.
I want to do a game of who you got. Let's see here. Let's go. So looking at dynasty long term, that's too high. Let's go. Ooh, maybe that one. Would you rather have dynasty right now, Kodai Senga or Graham Ashcraft?
Still think I want Senga. Okay, I just believe in. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how high. Like, if I was like throwing Ashcraft in my rankings right now in dynasty, he was in my early March update. He was like right around 400, he'd probably be like close to 250 right now.
All right, I got some better names here. That was too high. I knew as soon as I set it up, but that's too high. All right, Ashcraft or Trevor Rogers?
I'm just a little more confident in Ashcraft right now. What I've seen.
Right. Ashcraft or Brayan Bello?
That's tough. I generally believe in Bello's breaking out this year, so I'm going with Bello.
Ashcraft or Kopech?
Let's go with Ashcraft. So Kopech strikes out more batters.
That's true. Yeah, Kopech is not, for the stuff he has, he is not. And I wrote about him. I forget where I wrote about him, but I wrote about him somewhere this offseason. And that same thing, I'm like, the stuff's nasty, but like, where's the K rate with him?
It's Dustin May.
And Dustin May, I mean, May had 7 shutout innings, 24 Ks his first. Like, May has at least flashed a K rate, like that 5 start. Yeah, it was only 5 starts before he went under the knife in 2021, but I still have confidence in May. But yeah, I want to see that K rate get up for Dustin May this year too. All right, I got 2 more for you, Chris. Or maybe just 1 more. I'll end it on this one. I'm really going to test you with this one. So this is your boy, Ashcraft or Brandon Fott?
Still rather have Fott. I mean, the durability, the strikeouts, like, yeah, I just prefer Fott. Right.
I was really testing the heat check on Graham Ashcraft with that one. It's one to make sure. I thought you'd still go Fott, but I was like, all right, let's see how high he wants to go on Ashcraft.
I have Bello and Fott are in a similar tier, like around 200 overall in my dynasty rankings, and Ashcraft probably be like 250 right now.
Yeah, I have, as of right now, obviously I'm always tinkering. I'm doing in the middle of my April update. I have Bello 209 and Fott 241. Ashcraft, I'm still kind of figuring out where I want to put Ashcraft. I'll probably have him a little bit low. I'll probably 300-ish. Like, that's the range I have. Guys like, you know, Gavin Stones and that. I'll probably move Stone up a bit. Tanner Bibee, Bryce Miller. I think that's a good range for him. Well, maybe I'm a little bit too low on him. I don't know. I struggle on Ashcraft, like how high I want to rank him. But he's definitely going to have a pretty solid jump up my rankings this April. That is for sure. All right, moving over to some concerning arms. We had a pair of concerning arms to start the season. So Jack Flaherty, even though he had 5 no-hit innings in his season debut, but also had 7 walks and decreased velocity, which has kind of been very similar to what he was doing this spring as well. Velocity was down this spring. Command and control has been an issue for a little bit now. I mean, maybe you can attribute some of that to all the injuries he's had, but that factors in as well, man. Like, I'm not like fully out on Jack Flaherty, but I'm pretty damn close at this point. Like, I think he could still be a decent enough starter long term, but there's so many red flags right now that I really want nothing to do with him in dynasty leagues. So I can get him for like absolutely free, which obviously won't be the case because he still has that name value, right? In those couple of years back in, what were his two grades? It was like 2018, 2019, I believe it was.
Yeah, 19 was the elite year. He was good. He was really good in 2018.
Yeah,
and then 19 was the 2.75 ERA over 33 starts, almost 200 innings.
We're 4 years removed from that now, so it's like all the injuries and he just doesn't look right. Yeah, I mean, I guess you can use the phrase effectively wild. I don't know how that Toronto lineup didn't get a hit off of him. Maybe they're just starting to lay off everything because he was all over the place. But how concerned are you and Flaherty? Like, do you think there's any chance at him rebounding, or would you be willing to invest if the price was low enough, Chris?
I mean, I don't think he's going to be like really good or anything, but I'm semi intrigued enough where if the cost is low enough and it's a deep enough league, sure, I'll be willing to take a shot on him just to see. I don't know. That was a bizarre start and a bizarre stat line from him that we haven't, seen. But I don't know. I don't really know what to make of him right now. I hope he can rebound, but for the time being, you look at when he was at his best, what he was doing, and he was effectively throwing his slider. He was effectively throwing a curve, and those just aren't there anymore. In 2019, when he was so good, his slider had a 45.2% whiff rate. His curve had a 40% whiff rate. Last season, those were 35.9 and 35.4, which are still really good. So that's at least good to see. But he can't get eaten alive on the four-seamer, which he has. Like last year, at a 3.19 batting average against on the four-seamer. I don't know what in the world happened with the command in his start, but I don't know what to make of him, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm looking at the kind of the pitch tracking year over year with him. That elite year of 2019, 94.3 on the four-seamer, slider was 84.8, and curveball was 78.2. Now, since then, fastball went down to 94, 93.6, 93.3, and this year, yes, one start was 91 miles an hour. Slider, again, which was up near 85, the peak year, down to 81.4. Curveball is down to about 74.7. Yeah, in addition to that 3.19 batting average against last year on the four-seamer, 5.94 slug, 4.57 wOBA. This wasn't a good pitch. Slider and curveball were still pretty solid, but I don't know. If the fastball isn't there, command or velo, I mean, there's not really a lot of great things I can say about the fastball right now. And you look at some of the similar pitchers on Savant to him and velocity and movement, like Johan Oviedo, Mitch Keller, Tuki Toussaint, but randomly Max Scherzer is thrown in there, which I still don't get how those work sometimes. But I don't know. I'm not fully out on Flaherty. He's only 27 years old. St. Louis is a pretty good org, obviously, with its player development in general. So, but I don't think we're ever seeing 2019 again. I don't think we're seeing 2018 again. What was he last year? Last year was 4.25 ERA. Again, only 36 innings, but maybe he can be a mid-upper threes ERA guy at best with, maybe a 25-ish percent K rate. But we haven't seen that type of K rate in a few years now. So, yeah, I'm not fully out, but very close to being fully out on Flaherty at this point. And Chris Bassett, again, very kind of weird start to the season for Bassett. Below's down on nearly everything. And you saw on Savant, it had him throwing 8 pitches so far this year. I don't know if that's right, though. He did have him throwing 7 last year. Sinker, cutter, curve, four-seamer, sweeper, slider, and changeup. Basically every pitch under the sun. But Velo was way down in his first outing. Didn't really look that great in the spring either. Only went 3 1/3 innings in his debut. Didn't strike out anybody. 34 years old, Chris. Are you, I don't want to say this is the beginning of the end for Bassett, but he just hasn't been himself this year.
Nope. And I was highly concerned in the spring when the velo wasn't right at all. And I just kind of wrote it off. And he's like, oh, I'm just ramping up really slow. Well, yada, yada, yada. Well, it's here, bud. It's time to get going. And
right.
He didn't do that. And I would say there's plenty of reasons to be concerned about him right now. I mean,
with Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You give up those massive bombs to Gorman. The velo is way down. I don't care how many pitches you throw when they're not performing well. Spins down. Movement's down on some pitches. It's like all around, everything's pretty rough. He had 13% whiff rate. That's not good. 32 swings and 4 whiffs. You're not fooling anybody. And he had just an 18% CSW. And, yeah, I mean, this Cardinals lineup's good, but I don't know. It's not like it's – I just feel like he should have pitched a little better. He should have got a few more whiffs. Overall, it's just – I don't know. I'm fairly out on him at this point. I think this certainly could be the beginning of the end unless something magical happens and he gets – all this back. We'll see, but I was highly discouraged in the spring, and when we're almost in the regular season and still in spring and it was still down, I'm like, this ain't good. Right. Still down today. Just not good at all.
Yeah. It's like down. Yeah. Most of the pitches were down, you know, 1.3 to 2 miles an hour on average. And that's all of his pitches. Like even the changeup was down 1 mile an hour, curveball down 1.9, cutter 1.5, sinker 1.7. Four seamer 1.3, slider 1.6, sweeper 2.9, though I'm not sure. Oh, he only threw one today, so whatever. I'm not really counting that, but everything's down. Spin rates are down as well. Some pretty considerably, some, you know, at least 50 to 100 RPMs. Yeah, he's not really, like you said, Chris, not fooling anybody. And, you know, with Manoah, like Manoah was down too in spring, but first start of the year, Manoah was back up to where he usually was, so. And Bassett wasn't. And Bassett's obviously like a decade older, or at least 8-9 years older than Manoah. So I'm not saying he's like fully done, but another one where I don't have really any interest in rostering him right now in Dynasty Leagues.
Yeah, I think it's a little late to get out on him, unfortunately. But
yeah,
here we are. So if you got him, you just kind of got to deal with it and hope he rebounds. And if not, I wouldn't be going out. I'm not looking to buy low on him. Just say that.
Yeah, I'm not looking to buy low either. All right, let's get into some prospect stashes now. We kind of have, obviously, all the major league roster pictures in shape here, so we can figure out, obviously, who is in the minor leagues and who should be back up fairly soon. That's what we're going to focus on with these stashes. We're not going to talk about, like, the Ellie De La Cruz's or anything like that. That won't be up till mid-season. Though, if you want to stash them, go right ahead, because, obviously, the upside with him is very high, but we're focusing on these guys that should be back up fairly early in the season, April or May, more than likely. So I'll start with Brett Beatty. Very disappointing that he kind of didn't get the starting nod and had two home runs the other – yesterday. Had two home runs on Saturday when he listened to this on Monday, but had three hard hit balls, absolutely cranking to start the season. So he absolutely back up fairly soon. I mean, I don't know how long he can just absolutely smash in AAA before they bring him back up. And, you know, every time I look at my rankings, Chris, with Beatty, I just move him up a little bit more every time. So he's a very good hitter, not going to provide much speed at all, but this is a guy that could be, you know, right away, I could see him having like a Jose Miranda impact from last year, where it's like a solid average, solid power, and then long-term, you know, 270 type of hitter, 25 to 30 home runs, maybe even over 30 home runs if he keeps elevating the ball a bit more as he has over the last year or two. But he's a guy, you know, one of my top stashes right now.
Yeah, he should be starting in this lineup already. He's as hot as they get. He doesn't need to be in AAA. I mean, he knows that too. You watch him play and he's just, you know, way better than anybody else. So it's like, he needs to be up. The power's there. I think Beatty's got all the intangibles to hit 30 home runs over a full season. You know, his exit velocities are insane. The qualm's always been his ground ball rate, but he's, you know, pushing past that a little bit, fixing it a hair. And I think he plays good enough third base. Eduardo Escobar just doesn't have it anymore. I mean, they're paying him $10 million, but you know, at some point, who cares? Just it's Steve Cohen. He's got a lot of money. Just move on from him. And if the Mets are serious about contending, then Brett Beatty makes their lineup better. He's certainly worth a stash in my books. I think he's up in the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. The other kind of corner infielder here, Curtis Meade. A, do you see Meade up soon? Or how soon do you see Curtis Meade up, I should say? And let's say they both come up the same day, hypothetically. Who would be a better stash for you? Would you rather stash Meade or Beatty right now if you could pick one?
I think it's so dependent on what your team needs more. Beatty's going to give you more power. Meade's power is underrated, but Meade's going to give you a better average. So I think you just got to come down to that aspect of what, you know, what stat are you looking for? I don't know what they're going to do with Curtis Meade. He's ready. I'm just looking at how this lineup's been kind of shaking out. And they faced two lefties so far, the Rays have. So it's hard to really say for sure. But we do know Yandy's been at first base every day. Brandon Lau played second base. He was hurt. He should be back. It's a toe thing. So then Taylor Wall stepped in. Hit second, but Wall's also played third one day. Josh Lowe has played one of three games. You've had Isak Paredes play in third two of the 3 days. You had Manny Margot out in right field two of the 3 days. Like it's kind of like a true platoon is what we're seeing. Paredes is in a platoon. Margot's in a platoon. Harold Ramirez is in a platoon. So I don't know. I don't know where Meade fits ultimately. If Yandy stays at first, which he's been every game, do they decide to put Meade at third? You also have Paredes there. If Brandon Lau actually ends up missing time, he could play second. Meade could DH. I don't think you bring him up to DH, but I could be wrong. Meade's ready. It's just, it's the Rays, and how does Meade fit is ultimately what it comes down to. I don't know. I wish I had a solid read on this. I don't at all.
That's the thing with the Rays. Like, basically, you just described the Rays being the Rays right there. And there was, I think there's a lot of certainty about Meade's abilities, but not a lot of certainty about where he fits in. The same thing, like, you throw Manzardo into this, Chris. Like, you know, these are two top 25 overall prospects, especially for fantasy purposes, and we just don't have any clear idea of when or where these guys are going to fit in because, like we said, with the Rays, it's really hard. And you think these are guys that should, you know, get everyday playing time when they're up, but where? Like you just rattled it off. Like, and Yandy's been hitting the ball pretty hard to start the year. A lot of high EVs with Yandy, so he's pretty much. And I know they like him down there too. So he started, you know, started and let off every day at first base. I don't know. I just Isak Paredes. I mean, he's okay for what he is, but I think he should be more of a bench bat. But did the Rays see him as a bench bat? I don't know. There's so much uncertainty here, but I think I would still be okay stashing them outside of super shallow leagues because both these guys, like the bat, these are two of the most advanced hitters in the minor leagues, guys that, you know, probably, there's no guarantees, obviously, but two guys I'd feel better about kind of translating over into immediate success at the major league level, given their hit tools and good power as well in both of them. So I'd be okay stashing them, but I don't have any good. I can't be like, all right, they'll be up in April or May. It might take an injury or something else to happen to get these guys up. Let's keep it on the hitting. We have a few pitchers later on, but a lot of hitters here that are pretty intriguing early season stashes. We're going over to Edward Julian, who had a really good spring as well. Obviously, elite OBP ability, kind of sneaky good power, not like a 30-homer guy, but could be, you know, 20 to 25-homer bat, which from second base, you'll absolutely take. You know, looking at the kind of the depth chart here for the Minnesota Twins, and you know, right now they've been starting, let's see, second base, it's been Nick Gordon to start the first three games of the year. He's gotten in there. Who knows how, and Nick Gordon's all right, I think. He showed pretty good end of the season there, but how long do they keep Nick Gordon there? And he can move around, too. He can play a little bit short, a little bit of the outfield. So they've been doing Buxton DH, Michael A. Taylor in center field. So you got to wonder, do they make that swap and move, like, Gordon to center and then, you know, Taylor into more of a fourth outfielder backup role and then bring up Julian to play second base? I could see that. But and then there's also a lot of other guys that just get hurt a lot on this team. Like Kepler's had his injury issues. Correa's had his. Buxton obviously has had a ton. You know, who knows if Joey Gallo's going to stick in this lineup and if he could stay healthy or even be good enough to stay in the lineup. So I could see Julian up by the end of May or so, and he had a pretty damn good spring too. So he's one of my favorite stashes right now.
Yeah, I don't think people quite realize how good Edward Julian's bat is and how it's developed. And we've talked a lot about him. I think you're dead on. He's going to play better in an OBP league, but he's got big power as well. You know, he's looked good so far. He looked good in spring. He looked good so far in AAA from what I've seen. So I do think he is going to get the call soon, and he's somebody that I want because if he's up, he's going to play every day. And I just think that he's worth having on your team. Solid hitter. I mean, some of the best plate discipline in the minors, and I think there's plus power in the bat.
And I think there's sneaky speed, too. I don't think he's going to be a big speed guy, but you know, I can see him being a double-digit speed guy early on in his career. You know, he had in last year in 113 games, 34 a year before that, though it was down in single A. Again, I don't think he's going to be 20-plus, but you know, maybe 10 to 12 early on. He was running out in the fall league as well. He had 5 home runs, 5 doubles, and 6 steals in 21 games with more walks than strikeouts. He hit 400, was one of the best hitters out there, and he showed that consistently. So, yeah, I'm definitely in on Julian. I think he could be, you know, long-term, this could be a guy that's a, you know, top, I don't know about top 5 second baseman, but definitely could be like a top 10 bit of second baseman, especially in OBP. Maybe he could be top 5 in OBP leagues for sure. If he's going 20 plus and, you know, 10 to 12 steals with a, you know, near 400 OBP, like that's the level of OBP we're talking about here. Like, we're not talking about like 350 OBP. This could be a guy that's one of the league leaders in OBP with how much he walks. So definitely would love to have some stashes here. I think I have him stashed in one league, but I think he should be up early. So definitely one of the better hitting stashes early on in the season here. Moving back to go up to Toronto now, Addison Barger, Chris, this is an interesting one because breakout last year was nice to see. I think it's mostly legit. The bat is legit, but dude, where does he fit in? Obviously he's played mostly shortstop and third base in the minor leagues. And Toronto has two guys there named Bo Bichette and Matt Chapman. So where does he fit in? Do you think he's a good early season stash or maybe one you to kind of avoid?
No, I do think I'd stash him. His bat's good. I think he most likely gets the audition to see if they re-sign Matt Chapman or not. So I think his bat's going to be in the lineup fairly regularly once they decide to call him up, which I think will be sooner than later. I think he's ready. I think the team's going to see if he's ready because that probably dictates a lot of what they do next year, this offseason at least. He probably gets some run at second base, maybe DH. He hasn't played second base since 2021, so that's a bit concerning, but I think they want to get his bat in the lineup and just see what he's got at the big league level to ultimately dictate their plans, and I think the bat's good enough to play. So his bat will work his way into the lineup, you know, wherever it may be.
For what it's worth, though, he did start 5 out of his 14 games out in the fall league at second base. So maybe that could be, you know, Toronto, you know, tipping their hat and saying that they're kind of looking at him at second base. That's obviously a point of weakness for them. And who started at second base so far? Those 3 games we're looking at. It's been, yeah, Biggio started 1, Espinal started 1, and Whit Merrifield started 1. You know, Whit has also started in the outfield. You know, I think the jury, you know, we know Espinal is a backup. Biggio has been very meh at the plate, and that's putting it nicely during his major league career outside of that first year. So, yeah, I could see him doing, you know, and if Belt gets hurt, maybe some DH as well. So I definitely think we see Barger fairly soon here. And like, to look at what he did last year, the breakout was 308, 378, 555 slash line in 124 games between High A Vancouver, Double A New Hampshire, and Triple A Buffalo. Added 33 doubles, 26 home runs, and 9 steals. Walk rate around 9%. K rate was right in the 25% range, or a little bit under 25%. So, you know, maybe can I keep that K rate in check? But that's kind of an issue in the past with him. K rate was a little bit higher, especially in the lower minors. But if he can, I think there's a pretty solid bat there. So that'd be a really fun bat at second base. So maybe that's where he breaks in. So definitely a very intriguing stash for sure right now. Any other hitters here? Oh yeah, we got 2 more hitters here on the list. Matt Mervis, Michael Bush, both, you know, obviously great bats, have performed very well in the upper minors, but are pretty blocked on both their respective teams. You know, I don't know why they don't just give him a shot. Like, do you think the Dodgers just don't think highly of Michael Busch? Like, you know, you and I both kind of preach, like, kind of read what these teams are doing, and that might give you a leg up on what they might be thinking. But what is it with the Dodgers and Michael Busch? Do they don't they not like him? Like, why has he not gotten the shot yet? I mean, yeah, he was kind of blocked, but even after the Lux injury, it's like, you know, I know Vargas is a better hitter, so I'd rather have him in there than Busch. But man, Busch, you gotta get a shot at some point, right?
I think it just comes down to the fact that he's pretty positionless right now, and they put some value on defense, and so he just doesn't really fit in that puzzle, unfortunately. And yeah, maybe hopefully that changes. I hope he finds a spot somewhere else. Wouldn't be surprising to me if he is traded this offseason. Not this offseason, maybe even this season, but I think it's a case where he could end up being a DH type bat. And even though he's played mostly second base, I mean, he spent a lot of time at second base and he's been okay. But if I had to guess, I'm assuming that he's not going to spend a lot of time in this lineup. Who knows what injuries could cause to happen. But I think Busch at this point is just trade bait for, like, if I don't know, maybe he's moved for, who knows. But I think he's moved and he's used somewhere as a first baseman or a DH, and they don't really have that fit right now for him.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking the same thing. Does he get moved for, I don't know, a pitcher, you know, or maybe a bullpen arm? I don't know. I could obviously see him getting moved during the season because, yeah, it just doesn't seem like they want to play him. And, yeah, defense definitely factors into that. But I definitely would love to see him get a shot, some results, because the bat is pretty solid. But in terms of stashing him, I don't know, deeper leagues maybe, but I just don't see that outside of, you know, an injury or two, you know, to, you know, Vargas or Max Muncy, you know. Well, Muncy did get how bad was the Muncy injury though? It wasn't too bad, right?
I'm not totally sure. I've heard some mixed things there.
Yeah, he was out of the lineup today, but you know, maybe that's a long term thing. They can move Vargas back to third and get him in. Though they probably just put Taylor in and still not play Busch. But I don't know, deeper leagues maybe. But in your general, you know, if you're listening and you play in like a, you know, 12 team Yahoo, he's a really hard one to stash without like super deep benches. But what about Mervis? He already has a home run in AAA, but at the same time, they brought in Eric Hosmer. They brought in Trey Mancini. I don't think we see him up, you know, soon. Like maybe May. Like, he's on this list because he could be back up soon, but I don't have a great feeling on this one. But I still believe in the bat. Like, yeah, there's, you know, got to work on his defense, whatever their narrative is. But I think the bat is absolutely legit. And did we go a little overboard on him in the fall? Yeah, probably. But I think the bat is absolutely legit. It could be, you know, a 260, 270 hitter, 30 home runs, especially in when the wind's blowing out in the summertime there in Chicago. So I would definitely be, you know, I'd rather stash him than Michael Busch. But I don't know. What are your thoughts on Mervis, Chris? Are you stashing him right now?
I'm not. I'm not sure what they're doing. But they kind of showed their hand that they don't think he's ready or don't value him as highly as we may have thought based on the offseason moves, because I just don't think he had much else to prove. I mean, he's going to turn 25 here in the next couple of weeks. I don't know what else he needs to show him. He didn't help himself in the spring. He had a terrible spring. But if I had to guess, I don't think he's up anytime soon. So I could be wrong on that, but I'm not overly confident right now.
Yeah, same. Like, if I thought he was going to be up soon, like if I had a good feeling he was, oh, he'll be up in April or May at the latest, I probably would be stashing him. But I don't know. I'm lukewarm on this one. I don't have a great feeling on it. So I don't know. I guess it depends. This one, again, depends on your league depth. Same with Michael Busch. But I like the bat in general. But when is he back up? But going over to the dynasty side of this one, Chris, do you think that right now actually might be a good time to buy? Like, you know, we had the hype and it peaked, you know, like November, December, January, before spring training. You think it's kind of come down enough to he's actually a good buy right now? We thought maybe he's a sell-high candidate, but, you know, a few months ago. But is he a good buy right now in dynasty leagues?
It's possible. It depends on, you know, what the, you know, person that rosters him is willing to sell him for. So maybe, but I don't know. It depends on how cheaply he goes. And I guess if it's cheap enough, I'll take a shot.
Yeah, same here. All right, we have four pitchers on the list here. know, the first one, Grayson Rodriguez, if you drafted him, you're probably holding on to him. You know, it didn't look that great in the spring. And even with that, it was still kind of surprising to see Baltimore send him down, because the rest of the rotation outside of Kyle Bradish is very, what's a good word to say? You know, terrible. I was trying to think of a more eloquent word to say besides that, but it's terrible. But so I thought he'd be able to like work out, you know, kind of learn on the fly, work out his kinks in the major league rotation. But going to AAA now, but if you, again, if you drafted him, you're probably holding him. But let's say, you know, let's say he was dropped, you know, by someone that didn't want to wait around. Would you be going up to the waiver wire and adding and stashing G-Rod right now, Chris?
I actually think that he's going to be down longer than people want. I think that there's still some things he needs to work on. He's still, in my opinion, working his way back from that injury. I know he pitched last year after it, but man, the reports that I got this spring weren't great from people that saw him at camp. I mean, they said he's more of like 50s and 60s on the arsenal versus 60s and 70s, which is still a really good pitcher. But I do think it's going to take some time for him to fully get back to himself. And that may be longer than people in redraft want. Now, I hope I'm wrong on this. I really do. But I'm not willing to wait too long on Grayson Rodriguez. I think it's probably a couple months before we see him. And, you know, if you can wait that long, maybe you do it. But I just think there's probably, unless you're in like a 15 team, then, you know, it depends on what you, how you view him and how you need to use your roster spots. But I'm not like going out of my way to get him right now.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, I do wonder, because he doesn't, even the end of last year, he's pitching fairly well, but he didn't quite look like the G-Rod we saw before the injury. So I do think he's not, you know, 100% back, but I'm not overly concerned long-term. Yeah, this year might not be have much of an impact as we had hoped and for redraft, but long-term, I'm still very much in on G-Rod. I think he's the best pitching prospect in the minor leagues right now. So if you can get him for any sort of a discount in dynasty leagues, I would jump on that. But yeah, redraft, I'd be okay stashing him, but I do tend to agree mostly that it might not be like, you know, oh, it's a couple starts and he's back up. It might be, you know, May or even June, but hey, the upside is there. But the other three arms, Taj Bradley, Brendan Faught, and Chase Silseth, out of those three, Chris, if you would, okay, obviously we know it's Faught, but, you know, kind of rank these three for 2023 value. How would you rank? Actually, let's throw G-Rod in there. We're still all four of them. Taj Bradley, G-Rod, Faught, Silseth. Rank them for 2023 value.
I'd probably go Faught, Silseth, Rodriguez, and Bradley. And that's probably not the popular order, but I think Faught's just such an innings eater that we'll see him fairly soon. I mean, just we've said it. I don't need to say it more, but Bumgarner and Davies, they're not that good. And I don't think Faught's helping doing anything by pitching in the PCL. He's already dominated the PCL. I just don't see a need for him to really be here right now. I know he is, whatever. That's another story, but it's encouraging because his fastball velo is up, which I like to see. You know, today he had a 36% CSW. That's great. I don't really need to see much else from Brandon Faught to tell you that he's more than ready. And the fact that he did this today by pumping his fastball 73% of the time, which just isn't who he is, but he didn't really need to rely on it. His start wasn't great. He allowed 5 earned, but he had 4 home runs. I don't really care. I mean, this is a super hitter friendly environment. I think Faught comes up and is fine. And you look at Silseth. Silseth was really good in his first outing. The Angels could use him. They're going 6-man. They could use him in that 6th spot. I think that happens sooner than later because he could have done that out of camp. And I think he's better than Jose Suarez in their 5th spot. So you go Ohtani, Sandoval, Tyler Anderson, Detmers, and Silseth. That's probably their best 5. I mean, Silseth did everything you wanted to see. Bradley, I just don't know what the Rays want to do with him ultimately. And when he comes up, the Rays are the biggest question mark. And the one that I've, and we, like I said, we have the worst read on them for Meade, Manzardo, Bradley. So I would lean that order. I think Faught and Silseth are up sooner. And so that's why I'm going that way. And I'm pretty confident that Silseth's going to be a pretty good arm.
Yeah, I do think those are the first two up. Like, I think they can. You could pencil them both in the rotation right now. I don't know. Again, I don't know why Arizona's not. Like, the back end of that rotation is just terrible out behind Gallen and Merrill Kelly. So I don't know. I guess, like, how long do they hold on to Baumgartner? And, like, obviously they're paying him a decent amount, but when do they just finally be like, all right, he's causing us so much damage, and it's like, just eat the contract and move on, or move him to a long relief role. I don't know. I'm sure he probably doesn't want to do that because he's Madison Bumgarner, but he's just been so terrible. But yeah, Fought, still Seth. I almost kind of lean. And I still think G-Rod provides a pretty solid impact this year in general, though it might not be as many innings as initially expected. But I would also have Bradley last here, because there's not really an open, as of right now. You know, yeah, you can say he can be in there over Josh Fleming, but, you know, Bradley, both, you know, it was a Bradley G-Rod showdown on Friday, I believe it was, in AAA, and both of them were kind of just, you know, kind of mediocre in that outing. So I think you want to see Bradley dominate, you know, at least throw together, you know, 4, 5, 6 really good starts in AAA before they bring him up. Unless there's an injury, obviously, then you might see him a bit, but kind of also depends on when do we see Glasnow return to the rotation. Because obviously Fleming's only in there because of Glasnow having the straight oblique, but we'll see when he gets back ultimately and if he can stay in the rotation once he does come back. But yeah, I would say Bradley last and Seth and Fought. I mean, I know stashing pitching prospect isn't quite as fun. And, you know, if it was G-Rod, obviously he has the name value, and Fought and Seth, the good arms don't have that sexy name value. So, but I think they're both going to provide a pretty solid impact, and they'll definitely, I bet a lot of money they throw the most innings out of this foursome here. So I think I would tend to agree with you on the order. So hopefully G-Rod's back up soon. Hopefully he can get back to being G-Rod. That's a really impactful arm. And I did have a couple of shares of him, so it's kind of a bummer. But we'll see how that plays out. But all right, that is going to wrap up this episode. Thank you to all the listeners for tuning in. Again, we hope you enjoyed it. A lot of fun early season stuff. Just glad to have baseball back. We'll be doing 2 episodes a week going forward, Monday and Thursday, maybe sneaking in a third. Obviously, follow us on Twitter at RotoClegg, at EricCross04. At Toolshed Pod. Check out my Patreon, Chris's Substack, for great work every single day. A lot of fun stuff, rankings, daily write-ups, you know, a lot of other fun stuff there. So check those out. And we'll be back with you again on Thursday. But until then, everyone take care.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.